Psalm 50. One of David's Psalms. Now look down at verse 22. Psalms 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of the Lord. It's going to be tragic, people that forget God. I mean, God is already forewarned. Consider it, lest you forget God. I want to talk with you a few minutes about taking the goodness of life for granted. Taking the goodness of life for granted. I grew up in the 50s, early 60s, which I think, and many people I think this, was the best years America has ever had. In the late 40s, we were finally getting electricity. Roads were starting to be built. Things were just looking good in the 50s. There was no robbing and stealing and killing like there is today. That was something. The worst thing you would hear back in those days was somebody got drunk Saturday night. But time changed. Time changed. If people begin to prosper, people got off the farms, they went to work in offices, a lot of relationships developed that was not pleasing to the Lord. The county began to legalize liquor. Sin began to get legalized big time in the 60s. And now look at our country. Things was good. But you can't take it for granted. Are you taking the goodness of life for granted? Do you think things are going to continue as they are? We were here last Sunday. Since last Sunday, we've had one brother in the hospital. We've had one of our member sisters die. And don't tell what all other things that has transpired this week. Things just not going to continue as they are, folks. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking things is always going to be good. It's not. It's not. I can tell you that as far as God is concerned, He wants life to always be good. God never desires that harm or evil come to anyone. That's the reason He warned Adam and Eve to start with. Don't you eat from that tree. That's the reason this book here says many times, don't you do this. There's consequences. But too many times we just ignore what He said, don't we? We forget about God. Do you know God is looking at you so intensely, more intensely than I could look at you? Because God looks down into your heart to see even your intentions. And He keeps a record. But the goodness of life takes a turn because of sin, doesn't it? Sin that we refuse to repent of sometime must be dealt with by God. Our sin offends God. Robeson County needs to hear this. You know what's so sad? We can get on the radio, we can say this, and I probably will record this tomorrow. But you know, there'll be a handful that may hear it when the whole county needs to hear it. Because the whole county won't listen. They won't listen if it was Billy Graham. And I don't believe they'd listen if Jesus Christ was on the radio. Because some people just don't have any use for God in their life. They forget God. And it breaks the heart of God because He loves them so much. Sin must be repented of because sin offends God. He knows about our sin, and He wants to forgive us because He loves us. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with Him. He wants to bless us. God does not want to judge anyone, but if we refuse to humble ourselves and repent, then God doesn't have any other alternative because of who He is. Our country has all kind of problems because of the sins of the people, including the church people. And let's get one thing straight right now, folks. None of us are going to get by with our sin, even if we're members of the church. God judges nations, He judges individuals, and He judges churches. Jerusalem was the city of God in the nation of Judah. For 100 years, God warned the nation of Judah about her sins against Him. The priests, the prophets, were not even warning the people about their sins. Isn't that tragic? Don't we have the same problem today? In many places, that the churches are not warning people about their sin. Like those in the days of Jesus, they have become corrupt and unjust. So God sent His prophets to warn the nation that judgment was coming if they didn't repent and begin to obey God and serve God. That was the ministry of the prophets. They had a message from God to the nation of Israel and Judah in particular in the book of Jeremiah. But the false prophets and the religious leaders did not believe that God would allow their nation and the city of Jerusalem with the temple of God to be destroyed. They kept telling, God won't let that happen to us. I've just read the book of Jeremiah again. You know what it says? That's what the false prophet said. But you know what happened? The city was destroyed. The temple was torn down. God's prophets told the truth. God's word tells the truth, folks. You better not bet against what this book says, because this book is the truth. Did you know people can believe wrong? Oh, those false prophets said God wouldn't do it. But they believed wrong, didn't they? You know what happened to those false priests and false prophets? They all got killed. Eventually, they were killed. You can keep tempting God, folks, and see what happens to you. America can keep going in the direction she's going. You wait and see what happens to America. It breaks my heart to think about what we had in the 50s and the 60s and to see what we got today. As already been discussed by several already about the drug problem. We got a young man behind our house. And he stole about everything that he could pull off from his granddaddy. Writing checks on him. Stealing his guns. His tools. Equipment. His grandson. He's so eat up with drugs, he can't even hold a job. And tattooed. What's the crave about these ugly tattoos? Did you know this word says you better not tattoo your body? Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. God knows about our selfishness. He knows about our lusts. He knows about our pride and our greed. Better not forget about God, because he knows it all. And you and I, you too, preacher, you got an appointment to meet personally with God. And you can't counsel it. You might counsel the doctor's appointment. You ain't going to counsel appointment when you stand before the judge. Alone. Let me assure you, God knows all about us and how we're serving him or how we are obeying him. And God is not going to let, God is going to allow some hard places in our life to get our attention. God is going to send trouble to get our attention, because we think we can get by. You can't. If God doesn't deal with you in this life, I'm sorry for you in the next life. God is not against us. God is for us. If we're not serving him with a pure heart, he knows it. The religious leaders of Jerusalem kept telling everyone God was not going to allow an army to come and invade their city and destroy their beautiful temple. But they did not know God. If you're going to talk about God, what God can do, you better know God. America better not rely on her military forces, although she may be the best in all the world today. God's weapons are much mightier than our weapons. Look how Hurricane Matthew paralyzed Robeson County and the city of Lumberton. Look how God sent rain for 40 days and 40 nights until the top of the mountains were covered in Noah's day. All God's got to do is let a trash mover come, Brother Chavis. Look how God rained fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. God allowed a young boy with a slingshot to kill a 9-foot giant. And as a result, it scared the Philistines so bad they run as hard as they could. And the Israelites slaughtered them. Just because of a young boy that trusted God with a slingshot. Folks, you can't mess with God. God allowed one man to take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 men. How in the world could one man, I don't care how strong he is, take a jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000? Well, he did. According to the word of God, and I believe every word of it. People better get used to knowing God is God, folks. And he's always in control and he accomplishes his will all the time. Since the Jews would not repent of their sin, God sent Nebuchadnezzar with his army to pay them a visit. They came against Jerusalem 3 different times because Nebuchadnezzar sometime had to go fight somewhere else, but he'd always come back. And so the last time he come, the third time, they came against Jerusalem and their fortified walls for 2 years. Nebuchadnezzar himself didn't come. He just sent his chief captain. And after 2 years, the Jews on the inside finally ran out of water and food while the Babylonians was outside. It got so bad on the inside of the walls, the Bible says they began to eat their children and the old people when they died. That's in the Bible. You know why they wouldn't repent? God gave them every way to get out of it. He kept telling Jeremiah, tell them if they'll repent, I'll save their city. If you'll just repent. The human heart is a deceitful thing, folks. And if you'll look deep inside your own heart, it'll scare you sometime. When they ate that forbidden fruit, me and Faye was talking about it yesterday. How much change just by eating that fruit happened to the heart. The change that happened to the human heart when they disobeyed God. And they couldn't undo it. And I can't undo it. You can't undo it. But there's a Savior that can. There's a Savior that can heal our deceitful hearts. They got desperate for food as people were dying of thirst and hungry. People began to eat the children and the old ones first. Still, the people would not repent. God told King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Jerusalem and Judah, if he would just surrender, he would allow him to live. But the king declined. No, I'm not going to surrender. Nebuchadnezzar finally captured him. Got all of his children before him. And killed all Zedekiah's children right before his eyes. Just killed them. And then they gouged his eyes out. Then they put him in chains. Took him to Babylon. Why? He wouldn't repent. You can push God, but God will take care of the situation. Sin is costly. You say, well, that wouldn't happen to me. You better not count on it. God can let this country come to the same thing. We got a little old fat boy over yonder. Just got this country, don't know what in the world to do. Just a little old fat boy. Looks like a donut, don't he? See, God knows how to control nations. Oh, I can tell you, I can stand here and tell you this. Because of the way Babylon treated God's people, they didn't get by either. Because later on, God turned the tables on them and they were slaughtered. God just used them to judge his people. Oh, that fat boy over yonder, he might bring havoc over here, but God's going to get him back. Everybody's going to face their sin, folks. The church had better start listening to the Lord. We got too much going on to call church today in our country. We're supposed to come to church to learn about the Lord and to worship the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be here for. And that's the reason there's no more people here than there are. America had better repent of her many sin that God hates. Killing babies in their mother's womb. Homosexual marriages. Homosexual lifestyles. Injustice in our courthouses. Drugs and liquor available, legal and illegally. Discarded the Bible and prayer in the schoolhouses. Lack of love and respect for our fellow man. Just to name a few of the sins that's condemning us today. You know what our country needs more than anything? We need God. We need to listen to the Word of God. Think about how amazing this is. Our problems could be solved by picking up this book. The whole nation's problems is laying around in people's homes, about everybody's home. The problem is right there solved. Did y'all know in the Senate they have a preacher every day when they meet to go in there and have prayer with them? I don't know what he's saying. But you know what? Even the most liberal or them politicians, sometimes they get pushed, they'll quote a scripture. See, they know what this book says. They just ain't listening to it. They'll use a piece of scripture to try to justify what they want. Misrepresenting the Word of God many times. We need to begin to trust God, folks. Do you really trust God? Are you really dependent on God and His promises? We have a book here that tells us how to fix our nation's problem and get our nation's blessings. Blessings from God. This book tells us how to make America great for everybody. And God would if we'd listen. What did we read a while ago in Psalm? Now consider this. Ye that forget God. I was up last night at 2 o'clock going over my thoughts. I flipped on Fox News on my computer, pulled up the web page, and You know what? I found one of the most conservative guys that's on one of the programs. They're investigating him. A guy I never would have thought this because of things that he showed sexually. Now he's been took off the TV. One of the most conservative guys. I thought he was all right. 2 weeks ago, they took another one off that I thought was all right. A big black guy that I really enjoyed watching. They took him off. He'd been running around with somebody else's wife. Let's talk about the Lord's mercies. While Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem, can you imagine the prophet watching the city he loved, the temple he loved, the people he loved? He had to watch all this come crumbling down. While Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation, listen to this now, they deported 4,600 Jews out of the city. 4,600. And they were sent to Babylon to be slaves. He saw the women raped in the city of God. He saw the young and the old brutally killed and left mangled in the street. He heard the crying and the screaming of the children and the women and old men dying. Sin had caused all of this. And if God allowed this to happen to his own chosen people, do you think we will escape with all of our filthy sins? The hope. Let's talk about hope. God promised one day he would bring his people back home to Jerusalem. The Jews would be held in captivity in Babylon for 70 years before God would release them. And by the way, let me say this. Those 4,600 people that was took to Babylon, they went in three different companies at three different times, making a total of 4,600. But on the first trip to Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar himself came, guess who he took with him? He took Daniel, Shadrach, Abednego. What was the other's name? Meshach. Had a mental block. You know who else he took? He took the prophet Ezekiel. Now these were godly people, folks. They were living for the Lord. They were pleasing the Lord. But guess what? Because the sins were so great by the nation and the people, they too were enslaved. So you and I might be living godly ourselves, but there might not be enough of us to keep the fat boy from coming. Y'all follow me? God had plans for the Jewish nation after they'd been judged for their sins, 70 years in Babylon. God was going to have mercy on them. Remember, you have to pay for your sin. Remember that? As Jeremiah reflected upon this, he wrote of the hope that God gave in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. "This I recall to my mind," Jeremiah said, "therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. In other words, it was of the Lord's mercies that everybody was not just killed, destroyed, and the nation done away with. It was of the Lord's mercies, Jeremiah said. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should have both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We have a hope in the Lord, folks. We need to keep our trust in Him. It's heartbreaking to read of all Jeremiah had to experience as God's prophet. Jeremiah was God's faithful prophet, and yet he was hated by everyone in the city. He was despised. I remember when preachers used to really be respected. People don't really respect many preachers anymore now. There's been so many false preachers living such a way. Preachers don't have respect. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he cried so much for his people that he loved. He wept because the city of Jerusalem and the temple of God was being destroyed by the Jews' enemies. You know what would kill me? To see somebody come up here and tear up this building. That'd get me. When we put so much in it, we'd had such hopes. So I can kindly sympathize with Jeremiah. But the people would not repent and turn from their idols to trust and obey God, who had made them a nation of people and had given them the land they were living in. Yet they would worship idols. How does people get to worship a statue or a piece of wood carved out? How does people get that depraved? They do. Today people have idols in cars and cell phones and other gadgets. Some people's idol is their children or their career. God is supposed to be number one. He's the true God. In Lamentations chapter 2, Jeremiah said, I have cried until the tears no longer come. I can't cry anymore. My heart's broke. My spirit is poured out in agony as I see the desperate plight of my people. Little children and tiny babies are fainting and dying in the streets. They cry out to their mothers, we need food and drink. Their lives ebb away in the street like the life of a warrior wounded in battle. They grasp for life as they collapse in their mother's arms. What can I say about you? Who has ever seen such sorrow? That's what Jeremiah said as he looked at the city that he loved, that God judged. This can happen to our country. We are not immune from such destruction. Just this past week, the UN is engaging more sanctions against North Korea to try to get them to stop their nuclear welcome program. Russia's 100 megaton H-bombs that they have are capable of creating an all-consuming firestorm that 170 miles in diameter. That means from Fort Bragg to Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina, just one of them could blow up everything in that area, from Fort Bragg to Shaw Air Force Base. Just one of their bombs. They could take out two air bases with one bomb. Twenty of these could destroy 75% of the population of the United States in an hour. That's what their capacity is. And seven nations now have nuclear bombs, and maybe even three others also. We're living in a dangerous time, folks. We're living in a dangerous time. This past week, our electricity went out from last Sunday till Thursday before they ever got it back on. Well, they got the electricity on, but we're out of internet, cable, telephone. All that was down for Sunday to Thursday. Feels odd sitting around the house and nothing's making a racket. Amen? Weapons at the right place can put us in a bad situation, because everybody don't have a hand pump anymore. If the water system goes down, you're paralyzed. Only the Church of Jesus Christ, let me wind up. Only the Church of Jesus Christ can defend this nation. Yeah, and you better hear today, folks. I'm going to say it again. Only the Spirit-filled, faithful Church of Jesus Christ can defend this nation by the grace of God. The reason things are not any worse than they are in this nation is because God does have a faithful people. Because of the present condition of the churches in our country, we're subject to the worst kind of judgment from God. Let me remind you that when the Jews were taken to Babylon, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were taken, as Ezekiel the prophet were taken along. These godly people were faithful to God, but still they were taken to Babylon to be slaves. We have God's word. We know God's will. We know He hates sin. Yet we ignore Him. We'd better repent, because the Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And Peter the apostle said, 1 Peter 4:17. If the church fails, the nation is gone. Amen? God finally had to put Israel out of her land for 2,000 years. In my lifetime, God's bringing her back. Are you taking the goodness of God for granted? You think everything's going to go along and be nice right on? Better be careful. Man and governments cannot guarantee that life is going to always be good. The prophet Malachi has given us the remedy to a blessed life, folks. It's found in Malachi chapter 6 and verse 8. You might want to mark that in your Bible because that's such an important verse. Micah 6 and verse 8. God has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. May God speak to our hearts and challenge our hearts. May God help us to see, folks, we're the church. We're God's people. We got to live like God's people. We got to represent Him truthfully, honestly. Because we're what's holding God's judgment back. You can believe that. We, the church that serves the Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, cause your word to stir, convict. Cause us to stop and look at ourselves and where we're at. What is our attitude? How committed are we to serving the Lord? How faithful are we serving the Lord? What is our priorities? Lord, comfort hearts that are sad. Strengthen hearts that are weak. Challenge us all to grow in grace, as Peter said, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. For I pray always in Jesus Christ's holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. May God speak to hearts. And may you love the Lord and serve the Lord. Our altar is open. Anyone wants to come and talk with the Lord? Someone want to give their heart, their life to the Lord? Someone